Welcome to the Buckeye Hangover. This is our sports report.
And hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the final edition of the Buckeye Hangover for the 2013 Ohio State football season. This is it. We just wrapped up the 2014 Orange Bowl. And the Buckeyes, if folks you are not aware, they lost. They lost to the Clemson Tigers 40-35 here this past evening on what a game it was. But they did lose 40-35 in a close one, a track meet of sorts. A game where Braxton Miller was called one of those hurt buckaroos.
Wait, I gotta take a drink of my water. The Matt Millen drinking game.
And another game.
The hurting buckaroo.
In the same game, Sammy Watkins was setting records left and right, finished with, I believe, 15 catches for 227 yards and 2 touchdowns. This dude is the real deal.
Who'd you say?
Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, he's a stud.
Yeah.
To Cleveland.
That's what I've been getting text messages from all my Cleveland Browns fans as I was watching the game. Man, he'd look good opposite Josh Gordon.
I just think that if you have Josh Gordon,
Sammy
Watkins. I'm tired. Mm-hmm. It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
It's okay.
Sammy Watkins, Carlos Hyde, and maybe a little Taj Boyd mixed in.
Uh-huh.
I could coach the Browns.
I think.
I think I could make that happen.
Okay.
I didn't say they'd be any good. I just said that I could coach them.
You kind of implied it.
Well, you got that kind of talent, it'd be kind of hard to screw it up.
A lot of talent. A lot of young talent.
And we need an O-lineman. Did I mention
that?
For
the future. You can get one of those in the late second round.
They're just everywhere.
They are everywhere. But, yeah, we're here to talk about the defeat the Ohio State Buckeyes took as they lost a kind of a heartbreaker, 40-35 to the Clemson Tigers. And as the game went on, ladies and gentlemen, it was, like I said, a track meet. It was back and forth. Taj Boyd started the game out with a 48-yard run, 7-0 Clemson. Braxton, he answers with his own run of 33 yards, ties the game up. Then Sammy Watkins with a touchdown catch, and that made it 14-7. Then a penalty in the end zone on Taj Boyd gave the Ohio State Buckeyes 2 points. And then Clemson came out. Martavius Bennett, who really impressed me. This 6'5 wide receiver, man, he looks good. Someone's going to get a steal with this kid in the draft. I just have a feeling. He caught it, a touchdown of 3 yards, made it 20-9. And then Jeff Heuermann had a huge 57-yard touchdown reception from Braxton, making it 20-15. The PAT was blocked, and there was a couple of extra points that were blocked or just shanked hard in this game. But
Both sides.
Then before the end of the first half, Braxton ran it in on 3 yards, giving Ohio State the 22-20 lead at the half. Second half, Carlos Hyde came in, 1-yard touchdown run. Bucks are up by 9 now. And then it all started to spin round bad for the Buckeyes. It all started with Corey Philly-Brown basically muffing a punt return.
Yes.
And that turned into a 30-yard touchdown pass to Sammy Watkins. Then an interception by Braxton Miller was turned into a 3-yard touchdown pass to Martavis Bryant from Taj Boyd. And just like that, folks, Clemson's up 34-29. Then Carlos Hyde catches a 14-yard touchdown pass from Miller. 2-point conversion, no good. 35-34, Ohio State is up by 1. Then, on a beautiful breakdown play, things were going really south for Taj Boyd and the Clemson Tigers in a hurry. And then he got the defense and everybody to fake right, and he found his wide-open wide receiver in Stanton Seckinger for the wide-open 5-yard touchdown pass. And that was the final score of the game, 40-35. Ohio State had an opportunity to come back in that game, but Braxton comes in and throws an interception, and that just iced it.
That is the wrap.
That was a tough one. It really was. But at the end of the day, you came away with a couple of things. You came away with that Clemson and their offense was really, really good. Taj Boyd is a very he's a very good quarterback. I've got to give him a lot of credit.
I'll take him in Cleveland. I'm just saying.
And also at the end of the day, you saw one of the best wide receivers in college football in Sammy Watkins.
Yes.
Now, granted, another thing to take away from this game in this season is that Ohio State's defense and their secondary is horrible. Absolutely horrible.
They're awful.
I had a slim glimmer of hope that maybe they were going to come out today and they were going to play good football in the secondary. They might play good football in the secondary today. And it didn't happen. It just did not happen. Taj Boyd did what everybody thought he would.
You all right there,
bud? Yeah, I'm good.
Do we have an assistant here at Studio A? Like somebody to bring us
We do not.
Coffee, drinks?
No.
Because I want what you're drinking.
What's that?
You thought this defense was going to come in here and do anything other than poop down their leg.
I don't know.
I want what you're drinking.
I had this slim glimmer of hope. And I got this slim glimmer of hope the other day when I was I wrote a blog about Blake Bortles of UCF, and I noticed his girlfriend. And when I noticed her, yeah. Lindsay Duke, there was just a new revive for life when you see somebody that amazing.
She is easy on the eyes.
Oh,
I will fully admit it.
On a scale of 1 to 10, she's a 50.
She could be on in the neutral zone.
She could be.
Yes.
She could be.
Or the other one.
The other one. She seems too classy of a lady to be on the other one.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I don't think she wants anywhere near Larry.
No.
Just saying.
No, she's dating a classy dude. Somebody's going to go top five in the NFL draft this next year. So
did Brent Musburger get a hold of her?
No.
He seems to have a way with
Luckily, Brent was not calling that game. Thank God.
Oh, Lord.
But at the end of the day, it was a tough loss. It was. And it's tough to take back-to-back losses. And I know Ohio State fans, they're not too keen on that.
Well, we have sort of forgotten what it's like to lose.
Yeah.
So maybe it's good to be humbled a little bit before next season.
Right. No.
Because we could be in for a rough time, depending on who stays and who goes.
Which, it comes down to two seriously big names of who stays and who goes.
We're looking at Ryan Shazier.
Ryan Shazier.
That's the one I'm almost more concerned about, kind of.
And then there's Braxton
and
Miller.
And Braxton Miller. And after some of the things he said as of late, he can go.
He will go.
You think so?
I am 100% certain the way that he has carried himself as of late, the way that he, in a sense, has kind of shown everybody that he has checked out, I think Braxton is done. And when it comes down to it, you got to take all the variables into it, Matt, and everybody else listening out there, is one, he's going to have a brand new offensive line next year. And a guy that has publicly come out and said that he hates getting hit constantly. And when he's losing all these seniors, he's going to be hit even more next year than he is this year.
Well, there is a trick to not getting hit in college football. And that trick is throw the ball out of bounds.
Right.
Quit running it so much.
Right. But that's not Braxton's game.
Just a thought. And that does carry over to the NFL as well.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, more so. And maybe, just maybe, he might want to pursue that end of the game.
Right.
Of not trying to leg it out.
Right.
Michael Vick clearly can't do that. Or RG3.
It's hurting his career.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
The other variable, folks, and some of you may know this, some of you may not, he's got a 15-year-old, a 15,
he does.
15, a 15-month-old child.
He's a ladies' man. He's six
At
years
the age
old.
Of six. No.
He did a little bit extra under the monkey bars. You know, you Braxton. Always hear about kids kissing on the playground at six, but he took it too far.
Braxton has a 15-month-old child.
He does, yes.
And anybody that thinks that means nothing, well, then you're just stupid because it means a whole lot. When you have a child to take care of and you are just a college kid, when there are dollar signs speaking your name, whether it's league minimum or not, you being taken in the fourth round to hold a clipboard, that's still more money than you've ever seen.
Okay, let's be real. When you're a married guy who's contemplating fatherhood, like me, who is out of college, babies equal dollar signs.
Yes.
And it freaks you out.
Yes.
So let's be very real. That is a large pressure weighing on him right now.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no discounting that at all.
No, he's got a huge responsibility ahead of him, and it's not, you know, handling the Ohio State offense. What it is taking care of his child, and he knows that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's not a dumb kid. He's not. I'm almost positive of that. He knows what he's got to do for himself. He knows what he's got to do for his family. He knows what he has to do for his future. Do I think he's going to make it in the NFL? No, I do not. But do I think that there is enough guaranteed money out there for him to be a guy on the sidelines to make enough to get his life headed the way he wants it to? Yes, I do. He's not going to be making millions of dollars. He may. He may prove us all wrong and get to the NFL and be the next star. But I don't see it. I don't even see it if he stays for his senior year at Ohio State. I think right now, if he's going to leave, leave. Because this is your time to cash in. You stay another year, that 15-month-old all of a sudden is 2 years old. And you've got to remember what you're doing for your family and your future. And yes, of course, as an Ohio State fan, do I want to see Braxton Miller back for his senior year? Of course I do. But a part of me, at the same sense, doesn't. Because this has been the same guy we've seen for 3 years. And as good as he has become, I think that's it.
Does it? Yeah, there's been improvements from year one when he was a freshman being forced into all this.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it a sophomore?
No, he was forced into everything as a freshman.
Yeah, yeah, right. He's a junior this year, excuse me.
Yeah.
And there was poor play calling that hurt him then. And that happens when you have a defensive guy as your head coach. And apparently you can't call defensive plays either, but that's not my point.
Right.
You know, and we just haven't seen the, you know, the limitless abilities of Braxton Miller. We've seen the limited abilities of Braxton Miller.
A lot of truth to that.
And we can talk all we want about how he may develop or how he may not. And I can't see him getting much better. There's right. only so many things you can do in the off season, you know. Smokey, there are rules. This is a league game. That sort of, you can only do certain things. You know, there's only so many hours that you can practice. And given those hours, I'm not sure there's enough time.
There's only as good as you can get.
To make him grow to that potential that they talk about.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. Could not agree more.
Especially like you said, when he's losing the entire beastly offensive line that's in front of him, who looked a little bit porous tonight, but we'll get to that. You know, you're losing all that. You're losing Philly Brown, who can catch everything but a punt. And Carlos Hyde, your main back. That team's going to look a lot different next year. And I got to give it to you. I can't blame him if he goes.
No.
And let's go even further. He was not recruited originally to run this spread offense with Urban Meyer.
Right.
He was recruited to play trestle ball, which is more of an NFL-style quarterback position. Yeah, pro-style thing. So I can see where maybe he's not happy here, getting his, you know, head chopped off every play.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it is what it is. So I can't blame him at all. I really can't.
Yeah, you Buckeye fans out there, I understand that you might want to tar and feather me in a public square for saying this, but I think in his best interest, he needs to leave. I really do. I think Braxton, as limited as it may be, needs to get his payday. And Braxton needs to, with his stock right now, it might not be as high as some people think it is. And it might not be as low as some people think it is. But I think this is the time Braxton cashes in.
Yeah, he's got a way out in his mind where his stock is now. And with all the changes on the team next year, can that stock go up?
Right.
And if it can't go up, he's got to go.
Absolutely.
And that's just where it is.
And he's also got to think about who he's also going up against in terms of other quarterbacks in future drafts. This year, I mean, you're going to have Teddy Bridgewater, you're going to have Blake Bortles, you're going to have Johnny Manziel, you're going to have some pretty big names. Next year, you're going to have some even bigger names. Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston. Big names are coming out.
I thought Marcus Mariota was going. Or he decided to stay
for his senior year.
That's
which
probably smart.
Tip my cap to him. I like him a lot out of Oregon. I really do. But in all honesty, I know it's going to look a lot different with either Cardale Jones or JT Barrett manning the offense next year. But I think if there's any time that Braxton leaves, this is the time for Braxton to leave. So, Buckeye Nation, you can hate me. You can want to, strangle me, whatever you want to do. But if I'm, if Braxton's listening, I think, it's time for you to weigh your options and I think it's time to go to the next step. Couldn't agree more. Well, folks, we are going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more about the Orange Bowl and the loss that the Ohio State Buckeyes took to the Clemson Tigers, and also get you ready for the Grown-Ass Man Award of the Game and also of the Year, right here on the Buckeye Hangover.
For the latest sports stories for the fans, from the fans, check out Our Sports Report. Conveniently located on the interwebs at oursportsreport.wordpress.com.
And welcome back to the Buckeye Hangover, brought to you by Our Sports Report. You can find Our Sports Report at oursportsreport.wordpress.com. And you can also find us on Twitter at @OS_report.
And also InTheNeutralZone.com.
Yes, you can. Find us on InTheNeutralZone.com. A lot of great stories, a lot of great writers.
A lot of good-looking ladies.
A lot of good-looking ladies on that side as well. So,
not the writers.
No. No.
They could make an onion cry.
There are no Lindsay Dukes writing for...
No, there are not.
No.
Nor are there here. Let's be fair.
No. Neither of us are Lindsay Duke. No. We would, Lindsay Duke, if you're listening, we'd love to have you as a guest writer or just a guest. My home's open to
remember
you.
That assistant that would bring us the drinks and the coffee?
Yes, yes.
She's more than welcome.
Perfect. More I'll get welcome. Her on the phone. Call her agent.
I'll give her health insurance.
You'll give her health insurance.
That's the kicker. We'll find a way to make it happen.
I think it's perfect. Can you imagine her telling, "Hi, Blake, I just got hired by these group of guys in Central Ohio."
I'm sure she sounds just like
I'm
that.
I'm sure she does.
She smoke like 12 packs a day. I just got hired by these guys in Fredericktown, Ohio.
Oh, God. I hope she
it's
doesn't
like
sound like
Mark
that.
Mark Simpson's sisters.
Aunt Selma.
What happened to the show we used to do?
Oh, God. So
I don't know where that came from. I'm sorry.
But yes, find us on the interwebs at oursportsreport.wordpress.com.
Yes.
At @OS_report on Twitter and also at InTheNeutralZone.com. Talking about the Ohio State defeat to the Clemson Tigers 40-35 in the 2014 Discover Orange Bowl.
You had
that
to
was,
throw the sponsorship in there, didn't you?
Well, yeah.
They're not paying us.
No, they're not paying us, but it's like in the little like logo thing. What do you want me to do?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
So, the 2014 Discover Orange Bowl just was completed, and Clemson was the victor 40-35 over the Ohio State Buckeyes. Folks, a couple of things kind of jumped off the page to me. Kind of mentioned them earlier, but one thing that really got me was just how good Sammy Watkins is. This kid for Clemson, he's a junior. I remember him as a true freshman at Clemson. He was the guy that everybody said, hey, keep your eye on this kid. He is so good. Had a down sophomore year, junior year. He was tremendous. And he set records tonight, and he played phenomenal. I was very, very impressed with what he was able to do. Also, Braxton. I know a lot of talk gets about Braxton, but I was very impressed with the way this kid was able to pick himself up and continue to go as the game went on. It was obvious his shoulder was hurting him there in the second quarter. It was obvious that his hip was hurting him. It was obvious that he was hurting bad. But every time he got knocked down, he got right back up. It may have taken a little bit of help, but the kid got back up.
How do you think that those injuries maybe affect his decision?
Oh, I think it's huge.
Maybe he has to come back just to get rehabbed up.
Well,
or maybe he goes to get rehabbed up. Who knows?
I think it's, if it's anything, it's the latter, Matt.
Okay.
In all honesty, I think with those injuries, rehab is one thing. I think, but what else it is to him, it's like a kind of a warning sign of like, oh crap, you know.
I better get money while I still can,
or this hip, these ribs, this shoulder, this wrist, these ankles, they're not going to hold up very long.
Yeah, he'll be delivering pizzas if.
Yes.
That's not good.
And we don't want that.
No. We don't want another Icky Woods.
Whew. I've met Icky.
Taking back the history a little bit.
Yeah. I have met Icky. Actually, a very nice guy. Great dude. Did the shuffle when I saw him, so that was nice. But that was off topic.
Anyhow, the Orange Bowl.
Anyhow, the Orange Bowl, yeah. I was just very impressed, whether it's a sign of Braxton leaving or Braxton coming back. Every time he got the tarp beat out of him, and that Shuey kid, he leveled him on that touchdown pass to Carlos Hyde. Just devoured him into the turf.
Despite the protests of my whole family, that was a 100% legal hit.
Thank you, Mr. Shock.
You cannot change direction in midair.
No.
Despite what the video games may tell you.
No. Me and a few friends were here watching the game. And one was saying, oh, that's an illegal hit. Like, he pile-drived him. No. When you're in the middle of the air, he hit him as soon as the ball left his hand. Okay? Mm-hmm. You can't stop in the middle of the flipping motion. That was a clean hit 100%. No doubt about it. In Buckeye Nation, like I said, you can tar and feather me in the public square, but that was a clean hit 100%.
Yeah, just because I'm saying it's a clean hit does not mean I liked it.
No.
I'm just saying there's no need for a penalty there.
None at all. No.
It is the further wussification of football.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So
what else do you have for us on the Orange Bowl?
Besides what Sammy Watkins showed me, what Taj Boyd showed me, his cool, calm, collective, you know, being able to, you know, make decisions on his own, he looked phenomenal. God blessed. We're gonna talk about him later in the show, folks. But how awesome is Joey Bosa? How incredible is this kid?
Yeah, he goes into halftime, all taped up. Came out of the game, you know. Went back in, taped up, came back out, goes to the locker room, comes back out, and magically there's no tape.
Yep.
And magically he's running around all over the place, and he's back. So what that tells me is, one, the injury wasn't a serious one, because he's young and very talented. Mm. They will not sacrifice their future for a meaningless bowl game.
Right.
This is not the national title game we're talking about here. So they're not going to just let him go back out there for a throwaway game.
Right.
Two, he got the needle in the locker room.
Oh, yeah.
And we're not talking just the little, like, tetanus shot needle. We're talking, like, the big 8-inch long cortisone shot needle.
Yes.
He walked out there not feeling his foot.
Oh, absolutely.
And he just played like a beast. I mm-hmm. love it.
Yes, he did. And another thing I got from that game was I like the future with what I saw out of Von Bell. Looked amazing. He, I mean, of course, as a true freshman kid, had some hiccups, but he played so well.
He kind of reminded me of, like, a rookie pitcher you bring in.
Yes.
Or a rookie hitter, like a center fielder or something mm-hmm. that you bring in. Tyler Colvin had that for the Cubs for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
When he first came in, nobody had pitched to him, so nobody knew what not to throw. And he just hammered the snot out of the ball and just made these insane plays. I mean, it may be a bad example because it eventually caught up to him. But
yeah.
It's still, it's just one of those things where you look at the guy and go, man, he's raw, but there's a lot there.
Right.
There's a lot there that could be really tapped into.
No,
I'm
know
excited about it.
Yeah, I'm very excited about him. And this next guy, I really don't want to say because he's my grown-ass man of the game. And so I'm going to hold back on this fella on how I was just so impressed about him. But in terms of the Orange Bowl, Matt, what were some things that popped off the page to you? And what things were you upset with, impressed with? What hit you, man?
One of the main things I was impressed with was Carlos Hyde had a 100-yard game.
He didn't even seem
Nobody
like
even
it.
Noticed. Like, I looked at the end of the game. It was over 100 yards, averaging over 4 yards a carry. So, yet again, he's in there doing exactly what we need him to do every time.
25 carries, 113 yards, and one touchdown.
I mean, that's solid. And that's a down performance for him for this year.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it really is. That's the amazing thing. And he still played great. So I'm encouraged. I think he's got a solid future ahead of him in the NFL.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, let's not be silly enough to think that he's going to run exactly like he did in college.
Oh, no.
In the NFL, because everyone else is bigger and faster. But I still think he's going to be a viable option.
Oh, yes.
For a lot of teams. And I think the number 34 would look fantastic in Cleveland Browns colors.
Would it now?
Yes.
I think
it'd look great.
You know who he reminds me of? A guy that made a transition from college to the NFL that I really think he just has so much potential to be like.
AP?
No.
No?
No, not AP at all. I'm sorry. AP is a once-in-a-lifetime
freak.
Okay,
that's fine.
Frank Gore.
Ooh.
He reminds me a lot of Frank Gore.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that.
That's kind of lower to the ground. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't quit. He might not be the fastest guy in the field, might not be the strongest guy in the field, but there is just a don't-quit attitude about him.
Yeah.
And right now, if I'm comparing Carlos Hyde to anybody in the NFL— he really reminds me of what Frank Gore does for the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, he draws the attention of the defense, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else were we talking about? Oh, what else was I impressed with? I was impressed with Braxton Miller in the toughness he showed, but as far as kind of the rest of the game, it was more of the same.
Yeah.
It was him trying to do too much with his feet. There were several plays where he would have been better to get rid of the ball than try to scramble around for a sack. In other cases, there was nothing he could do.
Right.
There were times when the line absolutely failed him tonight. And that happens. Maybe they went to the buffet too many times.
Yeah.
Had a little steak hangover. You know, something. It happens.
Yeah. I've had plenty of steak hangovers.
Maybe the sand volleyball got to him a little bit.
Could have.
But, you know, everybody's got a bad game from time to time.
Yeah.
So it just seemed like another situation where he sees the pressure of the situation and decides to take it all on himself.
Uh-huh.
And that, to me, doesn't translate well in the future. But that's just a small aspect.
Right.
And what was it? What did you see? You want things I was impressed with, things I didn't like, and what else? Something that stood out.
Yeah. Popped off the page to you.
He's not my grown ass man pick, so I will talk about him. Cameron Johnson's a heck of a punter.
Isn't he though?
I mean, he's got this goofy style that I haven't seen much of before, and I don't know if he played rugby or something at one time, but he's got that goofy running punt.
He does.
That he works it so well.
Sometimes I thought it was going to even be like a fake punt.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing,
like he
man?
Just takes off, and then, oh, I'm going to kick it.
Yeah.
And it goes 100 yards. I don't know how he does
incredible.
It.
He's incredible. I mean, and folks, now, he did get a vote for the 2013 Grown-Ass Man Award of the Year.
I bet it was JP.
I have a feeling JP had something to do with that. We'll have to get a hold of him later on. But
he's got his soccer guy thing.
Yeah. But
I bet it was JP.
He got one of the votes.
He did.
And, congrats Cameron Johnston on having a pretty successful first year.
Not bad for a freshman.
Not bad at all.
Now, I didn't read up on it. Is he like Major Applewhite? Is he like 4 million years old?
I don't believe so.
Or is he an actual freshman?
He's an actual freshman. He might be like 23.
Okay, you know what I'm talking about, though. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes guys come from other places and their ages are different. It's not like a prejudice thing, but
How old was Major Applewhite?
I don't – like 50. I don't know.
There's no way Major Applewhite was 50.
I think he was kind of like Brandon Whedon.
Okay, so all right.
Sort of
so,
like that.
Okay, well, that's not terrible.
In fairness. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. But no, in all honesty, it was one of those performances that just kind of left wanting more. It was a tough one to swallow. Second loss in a row for the Buckeyes that at that point had won 24 in a row.
I got to tell you, when this game started off, I really had thoughts in my head of, oh, no, here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
Like 06 Florida game style. I was going, these dudes are fast, and they're making us look stupid. I was like, oh, man, I got a bad feeling. And then we battled back, and it ended up being close.
Right.
I can take a close loss a lot more than I can take
a butt thumping.
The Florida or LSU games of the past. That's all I can say.
Right.
And I don't even mind necessarily losing these dumber BCS games. Mm-hmm. Not that the Orange Bowl is something to sneeze at. It's still the national stage. You're not playing in Detroit for like the Motor City Bowl.
The Little Caesars Pizza Bowl
is
in Detroit.
The 12th time. Sorry.
Yes. Hey, it has been the Little Caesars
Pizza
Bowl.
You get my
point. Yes. And I've tried to go to that game for the last couple years.
You get my point.
Do you know how much tickets cost for the Little Caesars Pizza Bowl? It's not cheap.
Probably the same price as a house in Detroit, which is $20.
No, 90 bucks for a seat.
Okay, 90 bucks for a house. That's not my point.
Because they're bankrupt.
You can buy a house for $90 because the property taxes are $5 million a year because the city is broke. Anyhow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's just a fabulous example of government intervention. Are we really going there?
No, we're not. No, we're going to go football.
Let's go back to football, please. But anyhow, you don't mind losing because at least it is not the national title game.
Right.
My biggest complaint with Tress is sure we got to the national title game, but we never really won it other than one time.
Mm-hmm.
It was always that last little bit that we could never get, and I was getting tired of it.
Mm-hmm. I'm
like, great, we can beat Michigan all we want, but we can't win a title. That was my expectation. It's my expectation now. So, you need to lose a bowl game to light a fire under them for next year, great. I can deal with that.
Absolutely. I mean, we saw that at the end of the game with Dabo Swinney. I mean, he came out and straight said when they got embarrassed by West Virginia in that same stadium 4 years ago, three years ago, they are 22-4 since then.
It'll do it.
And they came in and they won the game. And you could tell Clemson wanted it. They wanted that win.
This game was, and there's some truth to the fact that Clemson wins this game and they look great because they beat Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Ohio State loses this game and gets made fun of because they lost to Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
And Ohio State could have won this game. Mm-hmm. And everybody said, well, it's just Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
So we had that. But for Clemson, this is a big game. It was a big game for us, but it's a really big game for them. This was their kind of redemption after falling off the wagon versus Florida State. So, that was sort of their thing.
And especially losing to their losing to their rival in South Carolina.
Yes.
When you end the season like that.
Which they do every year.
Well, true. But this was supposed to be the year that they won, though. This was supposed to be the year that they beat South Carolina with Jadeveon Clowney and everybody like that. But at the same time, you know, with Taj Boyd, Sammy Watkins, and, you know, just amazing talent all across the board, this was supposed to be the year and they just couldn't get it done. But at the same time, they got their redemption. They got their taste of victory. And one last day of victorious feeling as they took care of Ohio's victorious victory against the Ohio State Buckeyes. And
a slight ADD moment.
A little bit, yeah.
This is bad.
Okay.
What would it look like? And I don't think this could happen because I think Detroit did too well. What would it look like if Detroit took Jadeveon Clowney in the draft? They've got Sue, Clowney, and that other guy. Why am horrible with names. That gives them three beastly
big
defense
dudes.
Guys.
Yeah. Well, they've got...
That would be insane.
It would be. They got Ezekiel Ansah that they took out of BYU last year.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
They got that guy. And then they've got the big dude from Auburn with the big lower lip. He's huge, dude.
Bubba Gump.
Bubba Gump Shrimp Corporation.
You get that caught on a tripwire, son. I forget his name. What the heck's his name? We're both thinking the same
guy.
Yeah,
I know. I see him, and I can hear him talking.
Oh, well, that's the joys of podcasting.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Anyhow, but it would be beastly. That's my point.
Be.
I'm done.
But, dude, if you're Detroit, you need to take another wide receiver. Get some attention off of Calvin Johnson. Because you can't keep throwing the ball to Chris Durham.
No, that's not going to work.
No, you can't. Exactly. No, but that's a topic for a different day. Well, folks, yeah, like we said, tough loss. But at the end of the day, next season is just about 6 months away. So we'll be looking forward to that, getting excited for what we can do for there. And but at the same time, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to get you ready and give you our grown-ass men awards for the game and also for the season here on the Buckeye Hangover.
For honest sports stories for the fans from the fans, check out our sports report featuring fan commentary on the latest sports stories and issues from college football to ice hockey. Find us online at oursportsreport.wordpress.com.
And welcome back to the Buckeye Hangover, brought to you by Our Sports Report. You can find Our Sports Report on oursportsreport.wordpress.com. And also find us on Twitter at @OS_report. So I want to thank you all once again for coming back to the final edition of the Buckeye Hangover. We're about to begin our segment that we enjoy doing so much. Because Mr. Shock over here put together a pretty neat bumper that just gets you excited. Shock, let's hit the Grown-Ass Man Awards.
John Simon played hurt today, and he gets you fired up. And that's what this great game teaches you. I've done this a long time, man, and that he's as good as, I mean, just you mark that down. That's a guy. Are we doing as much as he's doing? No, we got to do more. Got to do more. We have another child. I want to name him. What is it? Urban John Simon Meyer. But I don't know. Can you put a jersey up there or something that's the John Simon? Because that's a grown-ass man. Excuse my language.
Can you imagine being Urban Meyer coming in the last season? Getting the sweet, amazing player that he got in John Simon. Just showing up to, you know, the Woody Hayes and watching this kid lift and get ready for his senior year. Can you imagine how excited he was? I mean, we got a glimpse of it in that segment. But just walking in and being like, okay, I get this kid for one more year. And John Simon gave him everything he had. Pretty amazing. You got to give a lot of credit to what Urban Meyer was able to get out of John Simon. You got to give a lot of credit to John Simon for being John Simon.
He didn't have to do that.
He did not.
He could have said, well, this is a lost year.
Yeah. Could have. But no, he did not.
He didn't.
That just shows what kind of guy John Simon is, and whether he plays for the Baltimore Ravens or not, I still got to tip my cap to the guy every time he takes the field. But we're here to give you our final Grown-Ass Man Awards of this 2013 and 2014 campaign for the Discover Orange Bowl between Ohio State and Clemson. And, Shock, I'd like you to go first, sir.
Well, I actually made my pick earlier this week when I wrote the article about the Grown-Ass Man of the Year Award. And I had this beautiful vision for that, and I never told you, which... We see how far that got us.
Yeah.
But I wanted to get, like, the Time Magazine Man of the Year cover.
Yeah.
And put, like, the Buckeye player. And maybe we can do that for the final thing. I don't know, but...
Yeah.
You know, in, like, Photoshop, Our Sports Report, Man of the Year. Sort of... That sort of thing.
Okay.
It's artists. It's artistry. I can see it.
You right can in front see of me. It.
But anyhow.
Okay.
In that article, I said, I expect Von Bell... to step up, because they've been talking about him ever since they've been preparing for the bowl game, that he's just been working his butt off in practice and just getting it done and stepping up. And he would earn the playing time for the game. Now, I don't know Urban Meyer. I don't just trip down to the Woody Hayes just to hang out. I don't think he would let me. But, excuse me. But when... Urban Meyer says that you've worked your way into deserving more playing time for a bowl game. To me, that says something.
Yeah.
And then Von Bell shows up in this game, and he played very well, I thought. There were some rough patches. And let's face it, a freshman, almost zero experienced secondary player is not going to match up well against the Clemson receiving core.
Right.
Especially this junior of theirs that is just seemingly going to tear it up in the NFL next year. So, in all fairness, that was not his matchup.
No.
But in other areas, he played extremely well for having no experience hardly on the season. So, Von Bell... Thank you for making me look like I know about football. You are a grown-ass man.
Congrats to Von Bell. And
yes, I'm sure he's beaming from this award.
Oh, yeah. But my pick for this game was a guy that was kind of somebody that people talked about secondarily this weekend.
Oh, I know.
This week. On New Year's Day, it was released that Noah Spence was going to be suspended for the bowl game and then first two games next season. So they just keep talking about this, and you hear this and you hear that. Oh, Noah Spence, he's so good. Which he is. I love Noah Spence, and I think he's going to be amazing for the remainder of his career at Ohio State.
He played better this year than John Simon did last year.
Which blows my mind, but that's amazing. So you keep hearing about this, and it's one of those like kind of like subtitle things, like, oh yeah, by the way, Jamal Marcus is going to be filling in the Viper.
Jamarcus Russell.
Not Jamarcus Russell. No, Jamal Marcus will be filling in the Viper role of Noah Spence for the Ohio State Buckeyes during the Orange Bowl. It's just one of those things, like, okay, you know, Noah Spence. Oh woe is me. Where's Noah Spence going to be? But then all of a sudden, oh by the way, Jamal Marcus will be filling his role. Okay, who's this Jamal Marcus kid? All of a sudden...
Apparently, he's the next man up.
I get up. I get back to the house, and I turn on the game, and all of a sudden, I just see Jamal Marcus lay the heck out of the running back for Clemson. And I'm thinking, okay then.
Yes.
So this is that guy. Jamal Marcus did not have... Of course, he didn't make every hit. He didn't make every tackle. He wasn't everywhere. But when he needed to be there, when he needed to do what he needed to do, Jamal Marcus basically cleared all the doubters. Okay, you need a replacement for Noah Spence? I'm your guy.
I'm here.
I'm not just nobody. I'm here to play.
He was like the third option, too.
Yes, he was.
I know they talked about Michael Bennett stepping in.
Talked about Michael Bennett. They talked about Adolphus Washington.
Yeah, where was he all game? I heard nothing out of him. Did he even play?
He was there. He was on the field quite a bit.
Was he? Mm-hmm. I mean, I heard his name zero times.
Yep. I think the only time I heard his name was when Joey Bosa needed to come off and Dolphus Washington came in. Okay. So, but no, my award goes to Jamal Marcus.
Yeah.
This kid in a role that is so widely known at Ohio State and around national football, NCAA football, in Noah Spence, a guy that has just put himself on the map this year, he was suspended. So who's there to fill in? Okay, Jamal Marcus. Well, who's Jamal Marcus? Well, we found out tonight. We found out exactly who Jamal Marcus was and who Jamal Marcus was going to show the rest of college football what he could do.
Next man up.
He can play.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, he got my grown-ass man award for the Orange Bowl. There is no question about it. There was a lot of talk coming into the game of can he step up, and he stepped up.
Yes, he can.
I am very impressed with what he did, and he gets my grown-ass man award.
Absolutely. I support that one 100%.
He played so well. I was very impressed. So now, folks, we're going to advance to our grown-ass man award of the year. All 14 games have been completed. Ohio State ended 15 point.
With a bowl game.
It'd be
15.
You sure? Yeah. 15?
I think.
Almost positive it was 14. Didn't they go 12-0 in the regular season?
Okay, 14.
Okay. So
numbers are hard.
Got that Fredericktown education.
I have a master's degree. It is 2 o'clock in the morning.
I have a master's degree.
Need a calculator out for the game.
Oh, goodness. But, no, we've been through 14 games. Buckeyes went 12-2 in that span, going undefeated during the regular season, losing the Big Ten championship game to Michigan State, and then also just losing the game in the Orange Bowl to the Clemson Tigers. But, folks, of all of those people, we had a good group of nominees. And, yes. Matt, if you would like to round out our nominees, I'd appreciate that.
Well, we have them all listed here. This is straight from the Our Sports Report WordPress page.
Mm-hmm.
We had Michael Bennett, who we mentioned just a little bit ago. He won the award for the San Diego State game, and I remember that. He played like a beast, which seems to be a common description of ours. We also had Joey Bosa. He won the award three times, one versus Cal, one versus Northwestern, one versus Michigan State. And I got to tell you, he was a guy that we kind of expected to maybe not play as much this year,
mm-hmm.
but he started stepping up, and darn it, he outshined Noah Spence this year.
Yeah, he did.
So,
yeah, he did.
I mean, as a freshman. So
true freshman, may I add you.
Yeah, I mean, we could have maybe given him this award every week and not exactly been out of line in doing so.
No.
Philly Brown got it for this game against Buffalo. He might be banished from the list after that punt catch this evening, but that's...
We'll game changer right there.
Christian Bryant won the award for the Wisconsin game, and that was the game what ended his career at Ohio State, and his medical red shirt was denied, by the way, in case you didn't hear. So that's he's done. That made me sad because I was hoping he could come back. We have Ezekiel Elliott won the award versus Florida A&M, and basically what happened in that game is he got to come out in the fourth quarter and run the ball all over the place.
Yeah,
but it was how he did it. He looked great.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sure, it's against Florida A&M, but those guys still played the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't just stopping. I mean, they couldn't do much, but, you know, when you come in, you're a third stringer facing the first string of another team.
Mm-hmm.
And he just picked right up where they left off, so it was great. Now, one of the more impressive ones for me was Mr. Pat Elflein, who won the game, or won the award for his performance in the Michigan State game. And he filled in for, Marcus Hall for his
antics.
Salute to the Michigan fans. We'll just say that. And
Go
he did
Bucks.
A great job.
He did.
Which it surprised me because we all thought, well, crap, who in the world is going to fill in? And Pat Elflein came in, and you didn't really notice that Marcus Hall was gone, other than the fact that the announcers wouldn't shut up about it.
Yeah.
I'm so kind to announcers, aren't I?
I don't blame you.
Not everybody can be Paul Keels.
No.
I'm just saying.
No, we are blessed in Columbus, folks. God, we are. Ugh.
Moving on, we have Duran Grant for his performance in the Purdue game, Kenny Guyton for his performances in the Cal and Florida A&M games, and other times, but those were the two games he got it for.
Right.
We have Jordan Hall for his performances in Buffalo
and Cal.
And Cal. And Marcus Hall for the Michigan game.
Because that's awesome. Because
it was just fun. Also, Jeff Heuermann for the Michigan game. He made a good catch this evening, but he also dropped one.
Well, at the same time, dude was sick.
Yeah.
I mean, he was, like, they had to have IVs in him earlier today.
So
tip my cap to Heuermann.
You get the Michael Jordan Award.
Yes,
playing with the
do.
Flu. Okay. That's why he was so slow then, I guess.
Right.
Getting a little dry here. Excuse me. Carlos Hyde, which this is another guy who just took it to a new level this year. You know, picking him every week kind of broke the spirit of the award as far as finding guys who stepped up. But this is one of those guys who stepped up and stayed up. So that's exactly what we want. But he won the award specifically for the Northwestern game and the Illinois game.
Oh, man.
Cameron Johnston, the punter, won the award in the Wisconsin game.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, in that game, he deserved it.
Yes, he did.
He put them deep in their own territory a lot. Cardell Jones received the award in the Florida A&M game. And if I remember correctly, this was because he had a cut on his hand and came back in and played.
Dude didn't even throw a pass.
He's a hockey
game.
Player. That's what they said on SportsCenter back in the day.
Did they?
If a guy stayed in, he was tough, he was a hockey player.
Okay.
But anyhow, Braxton Miller.
Against Iowa.
Despite all we've said, won it against Iowa, and frankly, he was the only player that deserved it in that game. Dreadful performance by the whole team. Joshua Perry, Kurt's boy, won it from the Michigan State game. Tyvus Powell, also for the Iowa game, because he had a key interception that game.
Yes, he did.
Armani Reeves was a preseason pick of Kurt's because he was just playing his butt off
and he really
in training
didn't
camp, and then
he flopped.
He kind of didn't do well. Let's be fair. He did okay.
He did okay.
But this whole defense did okay, which ended up, well, let's back the truck up a little bit. This whole secondary played okay, which then led to the defense sucking.
Right.
Because the defensive line, as good as they are, cannot pull off the line and go defend passes. Okay? Let's be real.
Right.
Ryan Shazier won the award against Indiana because he was everywhere on the field.
Had like 4,800 tackles.
5 million tackles in the game. All for loss. Why not? Devin Smith won the award for Iowa and... Wait, no. Yes, for Iowa and the Penn State game.
Because he makes amazing catches.
Yes, and nothing else.
That's it.
Maybe a block. Anyhow... We're getting a little, what do you call it, cynical at this point. We're bored, I guess.
We're tired.
It's true. Noah Spence played like a beast in the Penn State game. Nick Vanette won it in the Purdue game. Dontre Wilson was my preseason pick.
Mm-hmm.
And he also won it for the Indiana game. And then, as we mentioned earlier, we had Von Bell and Jamal Marcus. For tonight's game. So now we have to choose the Our Sports Report grown-ass man of the year.
And we want to thank you all for voting for the Art Sports Report.
So many of you came
We really did. Folks, we finished with 1,700 votes. I'm just kidding. We had three.
You should have seen the look on my face. I'm just like, what? Since when? But anyhow, like we said.
I was really trying to buffalo everybody.
We had massive participation.
We thank you all.
On the point of our viewership. Thank and I'm pretty all. Sure that the three people that voted.
I didn't vote.
You didn't vote?
I did not vote.
No. I know I did once. Because I was just like, well, let's spur on the conversation.
My money is on the Cameron Johnston vote went from either JP or Cameron Johnston himself.
Yes, I'm sure.
Dude, you don't know what they do in their free time down there in Miami.
I know what they don't do. They don't read our sports report.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say that Braxton Miller has read our sports report at least once this season.
Yes, he printed it out and used it to wipe his rear end. He was low on toilet paper for that time. That's all that they do with it.
Are you ready to give the man of the year?
I think I am. Okay. And
Shock, I think you have earned the duties of giving out the 2000.
I've earned the duties? Wow.
You have, yes.
Okay, well. Ladies and gentlemen. Like that awkward pause? That was
yes,
good.
Yes, I
ladies
do.
Ladies and gentlemen, the moment you've all been waiting for. Yes, drum roll. The 2013 Our Sports Report Grown-Ass Man of the Year goes to Mr. Joey Bosa. Tonight sealed the deal.
Yeah.
We might have been up for debate for a Carlos Hyde or somebody similar.
Right.
But when you go down and come back out, go down again, go to the locker room, come back out, and play the rest of the freaking game, you're batting on a whole nother level.
Yeah.
Especially when your performance doesn't fall off.
Right.
It might have even got better. So, just an entire season
of this.
Of dominating play out of a freshman.
And folks, we get two more years at least
yes.
of this.
I heavily doubt that we're going to see three more years.
Yeah.
I don't think he stays to see a senior year. No. Maybe he does.
Maybe if he's a good dude.
But frankly, the kind of money that he's going to warrant if he keeps playing this well, there's no way.
No way.
A defensive lineman, the amount of chop blocks that are thrown your way and the amount of times your knees get targeted, there's no reason to stay that fourth year.
No.
Because you'll have so much money, you can pay cash for college and every other freaking thing you might want.
Yeah.
Play, go. Just go. It's okay. We'll live without you, I think. My goodness.
Oh, man.
He is the Our Sports Report grown-ass man of the year.
He is the new definition of a grown-ass man.
I think so.
Yeah.
Are we going to call that? Do we need a Joey Bosa clip?
We might have to. He has earned it.
We'll see.
He has earned it.
Oh, gosh. Insane. I mean, I've never seen anything quite like this. And I'm covering Kurt's yawn.
Sorry.
He's feeling it at 2:15 in the morning.
Been a long one.
It is.
Been a long one.
Yes.
You know, we work full-time jobs, you know, getting up early.
Exactly.
But he deserves it more than anybody I can think of. You know, you were right. Carlos might have had a shot at it because of how dominant he was when he came into the season, when he came back from his suspension. But Joey Bosa, like you said, batting on a different level. This kid was just one of those guys you get once a decade. You know what I mean? And he was just fun to watch. And, you know, his gutsy attitude and the way he went at the game every single snap. You couldn't help but fall in love with him. And he was incredible. He was absolutely incredible. And nobody deserves this award more than he does.
Absolutely.
Well, folks, we really appreciate you joining us for the Grown-Ass Man Award segment. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we are going to wrap up the final episode of the Buckeye Hangover for the 2013 Buckeye season.
Want our up-to-date opinions on the latest sports happenings? Then follow us on Twitter at @OS_report. It'll change your life.
And welcome back to the Buckeye Hangover, brought to you by our sports report, Kurt Ashcraft, alongside Matt Schock. I think this is the first time we've introduced ourselves here on the vlog or on the podcast today. So
I think you're right.
It's Kurt Ashcraft alongside Matt Schock here for the final edition of the Buckeye Hangover. And yes, it was a Buckeye loss that ended the Buckeye Hangover season. But at the same time, I'll tell you what, folks. We just kind of wanted to take this segment and just kind of thank you all for your amazing support. I've had people come up to me and being like, so how's the Buckeye Hangover going? And this and that.
I have.
I swear to you.
I have.
And and I'll tell you what, you know, it's been amazing. This has been a fun ride. What we've been able to accomplish, like I've told you all in the past, I never would have thought that an idea that popped up to me, we're closing in on a year now, in a bowling alley. As I was bowling, I just thought, I'm going to make a sports blog. And all of a sudden, it happened. And I was 100% gung-ho on it. And then all of a sudden, this guy crossed the way for me, and Matt Schock, he wanted to help out and start in on some things, and it has just been all uphill since then. And, you know, we've had J.P. LeCocco join. We've had guest writers, some really good guest writers. Neil Brown, David Kruk, John Bozica, Corey Keplinger, guys that have helped out. And have really done a darn good job doing it. Also, a lot of love, a guy that's really not with the blog anymore, but Tommy Peril. When I first wrote my first blog for our sports report, he looked at me and he's like, dude, I want to edit your stuff. And, you know, he's got his own life going on. He's in nursing school, so I can imagine. And plus, he has another full-time job along with that. So it just got to the point where he just couldn't handle it anymore, and I understood.
Not a negative, he couldn't handle it. It was a mutual agreement of we're not going to make you do this anymore.
Exactly. Yeah, it wasn't, you know, there was nothing of me telling him that, no, we're not, you know, I don't want you doing this no more. It was just like, okay, you've got bigger and better things you got to worry about, and I understand 100%. Yeah. So, but thanks a million times over to Tommy. He really helped me get this started. He has been fantastic along the process. He's one of my greatest friends. You know, I've had a lot of good friends really help out with this thing. And it's been fun. And folks, I'm telling you what, if the first year wasn't a fun and awesome ride, the second year is going to be even more fun and awesome, because we're going to be adding a Facebook page. We're going to be adding a logo, an actual logo for our sports report. We will be going on our own domain. In this second year, we are taking what we have done and we're taking it to another level.
Yes, there's already lots of discussions.
Yes.
In the works.
So, you know.
And it's not all just my ideas either. I mean, there's been stuff I've come up with, like this, for example.
Yeah.
This is something I know you never
imagined.
Thought of doing. And I said, well, what if we did a podcast? A podcast.
A podcast. A podcast.
a podcast.
Yeah. And folks, and you have responded, and you know, we hear it from you all, and we can't thank you enough. You know, this has been so much fun, and it's just going to it's going to get more fun. Yes, we are busy individuals, and we do apologize that we don't put something out every day.
We're going to get back to that.
We will.
We sort of took a break between, let's face it, the end of Buckeye football season,
mm-hmm.
regular season,
right,
and this bowl game. And I think that was probably a good thing.
Right.
But, you know, it's a new year, and not that this is a resolution, because I hate that crap.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's, you know, it's off of vacation time now. So we got to get back after it.
Plus, a lot of us, okay, me in particular, has bit off a lot more than he thought he could chew. With different roles in the community and this and that. So I'm not going to lie. Sometimes my head is not completely in the game when it comes to the blog, and that's on me. But I'll tell you what, folks, with the guys we got behind the scenes, the guys that have been helping out and the guys that want to continue to help out and make this what it is, it's going to be fun. And I'll tell you what, our sports report is going to be one of those names that you're not going to forget. And it's going to be interesting to see where this second year goes, because you're going to notice us. And not just in Ohio, not just in Central Ohio. There's going to be people out there that are going to recognize who in the hell our sports report is, because we're going to shake things up just a touch, folks. And we, in all honesty, it couldn't have happened without you. It really couldn't have. You are the reason that, you know, we're pushing in on 12,000 views. You know, you're the reason that, you know, we've had amazing success on certain blogs, some that we never thought and would have dreamed would have been, you know, big sellers. Yes. You know, a blog that we just wrote, one of the contributing writers, John Buzica, he wrote about a young man, a freshman out of Maslin High School, Canton Maslin, that has accepted a scholarship to play football for Ohio State. And it has been one of our more popular blogs here recently. On top of that, our most popular blog ever
was about trap shooting.
And I couldn't believe it. But
the guy's like the Nolan Ryan of trap shooting.
Yes. Yeah, like, he was. And he passed away.
The
yeah.
Cy Young, if you will.
You're exactly right.
Like, legendary.
Just not a mean jerk like Cy Young was.
Well, yeah. Or Ty Cobb. No, none of that. No. He was like,
no.
Picture Ty Cobb and go the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Like,
the nicest, human being.
Most lovable human being on the face of the planet.
Yeah.
And that is the man that we are talking about.
Yeah, his name was Leo Harrison III.
Yes.
I'll never forget when I wrote that. The man passed away. I knew him from my brother being a trap shooter for years. He took time out of his day constantly to help my brother with his, you know, with his sport. And he was even a nice man to me when I was in my scorer's chair doing events here and there. And when he passed away, I knew I had to write something about him, because, you know, trap shooting isn't the most well-known sport, but it is a sport. And there's a lot of people from all across the world that travel to Central Ohio and Sparta, Illinois to shoot.
Yeah.
And I wrote about this guy, and I remember me and Matt and JP were on a conference call, and I remember at the end of the conference call, I told Matt, I said, hey, I'm going to be sending you a blog. If you could just edit it real quick and let me know what you think. It's about trap shooting, so I don't think anybody's going to look at it. But
yeah, we're like, and he even said, you know, I wasn't even really going to write this, but I just thought, well, I got to.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
And it, if nobody else is going to talk about him, we need to.
Exactly.
And I said, okay. What else are we going to lose? Have I written about wiffle ball yet on this site?
You have not, no, but you have named the holes at Hidden Holes.
Yes, I've written about a local golf course.
And you have literally written everything you possibly can about the Chicago Cubs.
No. trust me. I've written everything that's publicly readable about the Chicago Cubs. Some stuff's just not appropriate for a family site such as ours.
But we wrote this blog, and all of a sudden, I'll tell you what, I remember looking at the views, and it just went from 75 hits to 100 hits to 150 hits to 300 hits just in a matter of minutes.
It was throughout the day. I'm getting texts like, okay, 200 more, 300
yeah.
more.
Yeah.
What in the world is going on?
In a three-day span, we hit 3,000 hits on this thing, and in one day's time we had 1,863 views on this blog, and to date, and which will probably carry weight for a while, is still the most popular blog that has ever been published on our sports report. And it just blows my mind. But we can't thank you all enough, those in the trap shooting world, those in the sports world, those that publicly came out and have supported us. You know, we've had people in the Columbus area, people in the Cleveland area, that are well-to-do people that have supported this blog, and we thank you a lot. Guys like Dom Tiberi at Channel 10, we really appreciate your support. We know that you follow the Twitter account. We know that you've seen what we have written. We thank you for that. Also, Bo Bishop, guys like you've been there, helped us out, and you know, given us advice when needed. There's a guy in Cleveland, Andy Baskin, a very, very well-to-do sports broadcast, sports commentator for the TV station up there, I believe Channel 5, and he supports us. So we've got a lot of support out there, and folks, it all started with you. So we thank you all so much. We appreciate you following us during the Buckeye Hangover. We appreciate you supporting the blog, and we're looking forward to 2014, baby. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
Any final words, Matt?
This is not the end of the Our Sports Report podcasting adventures. It is my understanding that Mr. JP Lococo is cooking up some sort of a podcast idea involving Major League Soccer.
Yes, or soccer in general. Yeah,
the football.
Yes. The football.
I don't know if any of you know me, but that is not exactly my area of expertise. And by that I mean I know that they kick a ball.
Yeah.
And run around a lot. Other than that, I got nothing. So needless to say, I don't think that you're going to hear much from me on the soccer podcast. Maybe Kurt, because he does play-by-play for Kenyan soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely JP. And maybe, I think JP's got some various ideas from guests he wants to have and things. And then we'll be doing a weekly podcast, and I think this will be from me, and it'll be covering the various news headlines of that prior week in sports. We're gonna upload this every Monday morning, and it's just gonna be a simple, quick, 15-20 minute ditty that you can listen to on your way to work and catch up and just enjoy. It's gonna be fun. It's not gonna be anything serious. Nothing that's an hour long like this. Just a quick and dirty dealing of the news.
Absolutely.
And then we have this other idea for a show to be named later. We don't know what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. It's the least talked about version so far, but what we've nailed down is that it's going to be 2 half-hour segments, probably once a month somewhere in there. But the first half hour actually will have a structured layout of some kind. And then the second half will be sort of a free-for-all, if you will.
Right.
We'll kind of call it the after party or something to that effect.
Right.
And it'll basically just be me and Kurt and probably JP and, you know, whoever else.
Whoever else will join.
And
yeah.
We're just going to be screwing off for the second half hour of the show, and we'll do it in 2 segments. That way, you have the option to stick around.
Yeah,
you don't have to feel like you got a whole half hour,
absolutely,
or hour to listen to. So that's just a thought we have, and we'd love to hear from you guys even on ideas that you have. We can make things better, and any and all critiques. I mean, you can even just email us and tell us we suck. That's fine.
Right. But are used to hearing that.
Yeah,
so, yeah, just tell us we blow.
I mean, a legitimate idea, that'd be great.
Absolutely.
So, with that said, you know, just thanks for listening. That's been one of the coolest parts of it.
It's been very cool. It's been very, very cool. And we thank you very, very much for all the support. And like I said before, and I mean it 100%. Without your support, this is nothing.
Yes, because we see, you know, we're up to this many hits, or these new people started following us on Twitter, and we're all like, oh, it keeps us going, because it usually happens that a bunch of people show up at just about the time that we are ready to give up sometimes.
Yep.
And it just keeps us energized and
let us remind you,
it out there.
We are not getting paid.
No, this is all free.
This is all free. And we do this because we love it and because we want to put out a good product for you all to read. You know, we are fans just like you, and that is the point of this blog.
Yes.
We are not experts.
We'd love to do this for a living someday, but we are very much aware of the fact that that is a long way off.
Right. Right,
and so
it is.
Yeah, and so your support keeps us pushing towards the goal.
Yes, it does. And like I said before, we can't thank you enough.
Exactly.
So, for Mr. Matt Schock, for JP LaCoco, and the rest of the R Sports Report family, I am Kurt Ashcraft. Thank you all for joining us for the final edition of the Buckeye Hangover, brought to you by R Sports Report.